Yeah, good morning. Morning, everyone. It's interesting how you sometimes prepare and you've got, while you're preparing, you've got certain faces in mind, people in mind, and asking God, God, what do you want to do there? And you try and wrestle with the content of your preach, trying to figure out what God wants to do in the individuals' lives. And sometimes when you get here and you actually hear God speak and you realize, you know, you don't always know what's going on in people's hearts. And then God starts to speak, and you realize, okay, cool, God's actually, without me knowing where everyone's at, God is actually wanting to deal with something in our hearts. And it's this thing of Him being the center. It's come out in the, it just feels in the whole meeting so far, is that there's things that's maybe causing us not to have Jesus in the center of our lives. And it's almost like God wants to call us to that place where we really make sure that He's center, that He's our main aim. And so, this morning, the preach isn't much like not a typical teaching. Probably not something that you'll normally get from me. There's a PowerPoint though, so. but in a sense, it just feels like a sharing this morning, encouragement to us. I believe God is wanting to do some significant things for us as a congregation. We've got to realize that God sent an apostolic voice and Jonathan to us to speak to us about something that God wanted to do here. And I think it's vital that we position ourselves then that we might see what God wants to do. Because God, you know, from the beginning when He gave Abram a promise and He said that I will bless the nations through your seed, God had this intention to bless the nations of the world. And from that point, He's been looking for a people that will say, here I am, God, we're ready. We want to be those people that you work through in a powerful way to bless the nations. And I believe God is looking for a people, looking for us to position ourselves correctly that He can work powerfully through us. And so, I'm going to speak about Jesus the head, a devotion to Jesus and His body. In Colossians 1 verse 18, we read there that Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of the church, and from Him everything flows. We also read that He is the head of all principalities and powers in Colossians 2 verse 10. So Jesus is the head not only of the church, but He rules over all. But I want to focus specifically on the aspect that Jesus is the head of His church. The one thing that excites me is that I believe God wants to pour out new wine. He wants to pour out new wine. And new wine can't go in an old wineskin. It's got to go in a new wineskin. And it just feels like God has been preparing the wineskin. If you look at the partnerships of churches all across the world in 412. And Josh, you know, that really has this mandate to try and build New Testament church. A church that we see in the book of Acts. That's our aim, is to see such a church. So that God can pour out new wine in that wineskin. A new wineskin that will be able to carry the new wine. So I'm really excited for what God wants to do in us. So the key thing is that we position ourselves correctly. Oh, sorry, I must probably put this on. There we go. So this is a picture God showed me. I don't know if any of you know the Rumtum Tali, merry-go-round, roundabout. They, apparently in America, they're trying to take that away out of the playgrounds because of safety hazards. I enjoyed those stuff when I was little. As I became older, it just threw me. I can't stay on those things longer than 10 seconds because I'm just so dizzy and nauseous. But normally with that merry-go-round, there's a section where if you're on the edge, they call it the centrifugal force, that it feels like you want to get pushed out of the merry-go-round. But the closer you are to the center, the more tight you feel, the more the centripetal force pulls you in, and you're almost stuck there and you feel more secure. But the further you go away from the center, the easier it is, or the feeling is, that you fall off. Apparently that centrifugal force that wants to push you out is not a real force. But there's that feeling that you want to go, and sometimes your body reacts to that feeling. And I felt God gave that to me as a picture of what He's busy doing. That He's busy with something. There's momentum that's coming. God is on the move. And we've got to make sure that we're not on the fringes of what He's busy doing, because we might miss out. But He wants us to be in the center of what He's doing, committed, devoted to what He's busy with. Because it's in that place that we'll feel secure. That's in that place that we'll feel drawn in and not feel that we're on the outer and wanting to lose grip of what He's doing. I've always seen people on that's isolated. The enemy just nails those people on the fringes. So really sense that God is calling us to, you know, get involved, get into the center of what he's busy with, so that we don't feel the centrifugal force. It's a fake force. So sometimes we feel that we, but it's alive, the enemy. God wants us to be close to what he's busy doing. And in Matthew 16, from verse 13 to 20, we read a passage where Jesus speaks to his disciples. Well-known passage of Scripture, but I want to highlight two aspects out of this passage of Scripture, linked with that picture of the centrifugal force. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah until the appropriate time. That's why he wanted them to be quiet. I want to highlight two things out of this passage of Scripture. It's that Jesus is building his church. The head of the church, he's building his church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. The second thing is that I want to focus on the work of Jesus here, but also on the person of Jesus. Answering this question, "Who do you say I am?" is fundamental to what God wants to do in and through us in this coming season. It's fundamental. So I want to highlight those two things and we'll build on that. So first one, he is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now we've got to understand that this Jesus is the one that's supreme over all. We, for the last couple of weeks, we've been speaking about this incredible Jesus that's like no other. He is busy building his church. The one that has all power, that's infinitely strong, that's anywhere at any given time. Russell spoke about God's omnipresence. He's incredible and he is busy building his church. And there's a sense that it's vital for him. It's important for him. And now one thing I've come to notice or come to learn, if I value a person, then I need to value what they are busy with as well. And so if we value who Jesus is, we've got to value the fact that he's busy building with it and make sure that we're on board, that we're at the center of what he's busy doing so that we don't get tossed off. So he is busy building his church. We see, as I said, Abram, God told Abram, "Through your seed I will bless many nations." And from that very point, God was busy gathering a people. The church, if you look at the Greek word for the church, it's ecclesia, called out once. A called out once for a purpose. And since that time, God has been calling a people together. And now we are the called out ones of God that he's busy building together. We are the called out ones. So God has a plan A to reach the world. And that plan is the who? The church. That plan of God is the church. It's us. Living stones. I believe God is looking for a red hot church. Passionate about him. Passionate about him. In the book of Revelation, God told the church, I know your deeds. You're neither hot, you're neither cold, but you're lukewarm, and I want to spit you out of my mouth. I want to vomit you out of your mouth because you're lukewarm. And I believe God is looking for a people, a church. Remember, a church is a people. It's not the leadership. It's not the structure. It's the people. He's looking for a people, red hot, passionate about him, and being built together. Being built together. In Peter, it says that we are living stones being built together. Living stones being built together. I want to ask you, are you a living stone or are you a stone that's dead? Are you contributing or are you not contributing to God's plan here on this earth? Living stones, people that's active and alive, contributing. That's an effective red hot church, is when people are built together and they're alive, they're contributing. I had a youth pastor in Wellington when I was a Bible school student, the one youth pastor, he actually leads one of the Joshua congregations now. He had this Bucky. old postkantoor, post office, bakkie. So it was kind of like closed at the back. There was windows, but there was like a little fence over the windows. So you can't even open the windows. And kind of like this bakkie took people from youth cell group to youth cell group and traveled around. And he traveled the one guest speaker from America. He traveled him around the one day in Wellington. And just as they about to approach our building, he takes a turn. And as he turns, one of his wheels fell off. Just in the turn, an American pastor looked at him and said, "Dude, there goes your wheel." And so that vehicle was going somewhere. But at that moment where the wheel fell off, the thing became ineffective and static. It was not going anywhere. Now, we can preach and say the church is the vehicle that God has intended to reach the nations. But if the vehicle isn't going, if the vehicle isn't active, if the vehicle isn't alive and red off, it's ineffective. And it can just stand next to the road and people would go, "Oh, shame." We need to be effective people, red hot, passionate, in love with God. I remember at Bible school, I grew up in the church. I was saved from the age of 7, grew up in the church, and then went to Bible school. And I was always part of the church, but I didn't understand how amazing this entity is that Jesus is busy building. I didn't understand the beauty of the church. I didn't understand that it was the manifold wisdom of God that he wants to reveal. He wants to use this to reveal his manifold wisdom. I didn't understand the beauty of it. I didn't give myself fully to the church because I just thought it's your duty to gather with other Christians. But I didn't understand the beauty of it. And I remember the one day at Bible school, we could go to any church at that stage, my first year. So it was called First Love Church before we joined Joshin. And that's where the Bible school kind of originated from, Team T that you just heard of, that's having an open day at Being Authentic. That Bible school, it was part of this church, and the church was just a bit wild for me. It was wild. Wild things happening, 3-hour services. That was like, wow, this is an early Sunday, for real. And it was just a bit wild. And I struggled, and I went to go visit other churches. And then one day, I thought, let me go visit now there. I mean, it's a church of a Bible school. And just there, God just gripped my heart for his church when I started to see something of the beauty of his body. It's his body, effective people that is giving themselves to the head, that is actively loving one another, that's encouraging one another, that's living for Jesus and seeing his purposes come to pass. It was a beautiful thing. And since that day in that worship service where God just laid hold of my heart, something shifted in my heart. And I started to give myself to the church. I started to devote myself because it's his body. And it's his vehicle that he wants to use to impact the nation, impact the nations of the world. You see, our world and our country is in a state. It doesn't need a new president. It doesn't need a new law. It needs a people of God standing up on fire with the gospel, convicted that this is the message that will bring people to salvation under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the world is looking for. It's a church, the people that need to be witnesses of Jesus, red hot, passionate for him. It says that this church, this beautiful thing that Jesus is busy building, the gates of hell will not prevail. So now, just to give you some context of the gates of Hades, Jesus, when it says that he took his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, that was about a 250-mile journey, and he got him to that point. And at Hades, there was this big cave, and in the cave, there was a bottomless pit, and they believed that that was the place of the departed souls. It resembled something of death, and it was a place where they did pagan worship. They worshipped Zeus and a god called Pan. So it was that place that Jesus took his disciples to, and he said, "I'm building my church. I'm going to build my church on this revelation. And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not prevail. The authority of death will never overcome the church." This beautiful thing that he's busy building will not come to an end. No matter what laws they're passing, no matter what's happening, a red hot church in love with Jesus, it will not come to an end. And that's a powerful thing. It says in Acts 20:28, that he purchased this church with his blood. So It's a beautiful thing. He created everything. He created the church as well. But there's this picture that the church, he also paid a cost for. It's a precious thing. It's a beautiful thing. And the gates of hell will not prevail. It will not come to an end. Isn't it a great idea to be part of something so amazing? I remember we stayed at Derek and Teresa's small holding. It was quite a big open space. And Leo, at that stage, I think he was about 3.5, 4. Derek and Teresa got a dog. And when the dog was a puppy, he come, like, really enjoyed playing with the puppy. But then the dog started to grow. And obviously the dog became stronger. And Leo wasn't as fond of this dog, Charlie. And so the one day, Leo was playing outside. And about 30-odd meters away, Charlie just came out of the door at Derek and Teresa's house. And Leo stood there and he went, frozen with his hand out in utter fear. He was just frozen there and he didn't move. I was standing on our stoop. I was probably about 10 meters away, so I could have easily gotten to him. And I just wanted to see what's going to happen here, you know? what's going to happen here? You know, is he going to click that he's got the advantage? All he needs to do is run 10 meters and get in. What's going to happen here? I think Charlie was then disappeared. I think they didn't even notice him. But he was, and I think sometimes that's the church. When stuff happens in our country, in the world, the church is like, thinking that the gates of hell are going to come. Boom, boom. Gates can't come. We've got the ones that need to advance. God is looking for a red hot people that will advance. That will advance. Not stand there in utter fears like, oh, this is happening, this is happening. No. We need to be passionate about our head. And then in step with the Holy Spirit, we are advancing, we are moving. Because God wants to do stuff on this earth through us. But he's not going to do it through us if we just sit and do church week after week. Attend a Wednesday meeting. That's what the church is building. He's building his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. I want to ask, are you building with him? Or are you breaking down? Are you building with him? Or are you not even aware of what he's doing? We need to be building with him. I remember my father did paving next to the house. And we did a long driveway section, and at the back, he laid some paving, and I didn't get too involved. But then at the back, what he did is he laid the paving in such a pattern that it made a tennis court. And he put nails, one nail in the house wall and one nail in the vibrocrete, and he could span a net over it for a tennis net. So then I got involved because I thought, that's pretty cool. But the thing was, I had to stick with the pattern. I just couldn't do my own thing because then it would have looked like a tennis court laid out on the paving. So I had to, because he said I can do it with him. So sometimes when he was work, I was just so excited about the idea of a tennis court at my home that I, some afternoons from school, I was busy laying down the bricks in the right pattern because I wanted to see this tennis court come to pass. There was a pattern. I had to stick with it. And as I got involved in building with him, there was something of the beauty as it started to develop that it just got a hold of me, it got a grip of me. And then I could benefit of the beauty once it was laid out. God wants us to build with him. I still remember when the tennis court was eventually built, we took it serious. So obviously what happened, as this thing started getting built, we had about 5 friends in our street. That's the days when you still played outside, you know, when your parents tried to get you in the house, not out of the house like these days. So we were still playing in the street, and we were building this tennis court, and people, the friends of mine were just so amazed by the idea of this that they also came in. Everyone was like, we're going to have a tennis court. Yeah, it's going to be incredible. It was small. It wasn't major, but it looked like the real deal. I still remember some Saturdays we organized the whole tennis tournament, you know, at the white plastic chairs next to the tennis, on top of the tennis, there was like a little ramp. So on top of the ramp, they got the plastic chairs, came out with your banana and your water, and we did the whole thing. We took it serious. In between the points, we took a bite of your banana, your towel, and then you went on. Took it really serious. You couldn't get around the net. You had to jump over the net because to get to the other side. We had lots of fun. But there's something as this thing was being built that it pulled in people in the street. They wanted to come and look. because there's something wonderful taking place here. As we give ourselves to what He's busy building, people will want to come and see what God is doing, because we're giving ourselves. There's something beautiful about people giving themselves. I saw a guy, a lot of you probably know about Eliud Kipchoge. He's the first guy that ran the marathon in 2 hours yesterday. Incredible. First man. It is, just to give you some context, he consistently ran about 14 minutes for every 5 kilometers, consistently. It's under 3 minutes a kilo for 42 kilometers on, consistently. So he gave himself to it. The supporters, the toeschouwers, the spectators come. And people were lined up to see this guy achieve something incredible that no person has ever achieved before. People were lined up. There were masses. There were cameras. Why? Because he was busy achieving something. He had a whole team of people running with him every 5 kilometers, a new set of people to set the pace. People were involved. People were giving themselves to this thing. And it pulled people in. People wanted to know what's going to happen. I tell you, as we, the church, if we give ourselves to the head and what he's busy with, people will want to come and see what's going on here. How do we build with him? We give ourselves to who he is and to his word. See, marriages are falling apart. How do we build with him? We make sure that our marriage is at a healthy place. We work at it. We apply, we go look at the scriptures. What does the scripture say about my role as a husband? And I give myself to that. In the church, we love one another. And if I get offended, I deal with it quickly because I want to build with him. I don't want to break down what he's building. I don't want to build something else. Some churches are making calls at this very moment that's contrary to the word of God. They're not building with him. They're building something totally different. And that will not last. But this that he's building, that will last. That will last. This next thing it says there, the other point I wanted to highlight was that on this revelation of Jesus Christ, he will build his church. He said, Peter, Father in heaven revealed that to you. Peter, Petros, the rock, and his name meant rock, but then Jesus said, on this rock, Petra, and many believe that refers to the revelation of Jesus Christ, I will build my church. I will build my church on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus, before that, asked them, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And I believe that's a fundamental question for us, not just the day we get saved, but every single step as we journey. Who do we say Jesus is? Because I don't believe we need to be advancing people. We can't be stuck. Jesus is infinitely great. We can't be stuck just on the day that I got saved, that he's my Savior. He's so much more. He's so much greater. And who do you say I am? You see, churches can't be built on personalities. Churches can't be built on a value system, even though it's important. And we emphasize value system a lot. We emphasize Acts 4 a lot. But it can't be built on that. It's got to be built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And from that place, as we live out a devoted life, filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we see the values start to come forth. And that's a beautiful testimony to the world. Jesus Christ needs to be the foundation. Shaul shared at our elders meeting on Friday, Shaul shared a beautiful picture of grandfather that stood with his grandson. And they had 6 dogs. And at one stage, the one dog ran off. And the youth heard the story on Friday. It's featuring this weekend. It's a story of the weekend. And so the dogs ran off and it grabbed hold, or the one dog ran off. And the next moment, the other 5 dogs just follow. All the dogs are away. And the grandfather told his son that the 5 dogs that went, or his grandfather told his grandson, the 5 dogs that ran off, second, they will come back within the next 10 minutes not having anything. But the one that ran off first, he'll probably only come back in 30 minutes' time. Because he's the one that saw the duck. And he went to go and fetch it. He went to go and taste and see there's some good stuff there. He's the one that went. He's building his church on the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to be a people that see and taste. In Acts 1 verse 8, it says, I will pour out my spirit, you will receive power, and my spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of people that see something and testify. See and testify. We testify of what we're seeing. And as a people, we need to see Jesus Christ. We need to know him. And from that place, we testify of who he is. We testify of who he is. I believe God wants us to be connected to him, the head. He is the head. It's built on him. Andrew Selly once shared, he's got one of his discs in his neck that's eroding away. And they picked it up because he was losing a bit of touch in his fingers. It started getting numb. And at the doctor explained to him that if they need to address this, because if they're not going to address it, what's going to happen is as it erodes further and further away, you're going to lose total feeling in your hands and speed. You're going to lose feeling and speed. And I sometimes believe if we get disconnected with the head, we lose feeling of what God wants to do. And we lose our speed, our effectiveness. Individually, we need to make sure that we're connected with the head. We see him, we know him. We see him and we know him. So that we don't lose feeling. And we don't lose our effectiveness, our speed. He wants us to be witnesses. You see, in the Bible, there wasn't maybe programmers. But now in the modern day, we can be programmers in our workplace, busy programming. And we can resemble something of Jesus in that place. We will do that as we connect it with the head. At school, you can be a representation, a witness of Jesus, but it will only happen if you connect it with the head. Marriages will do well if we connect it with the head. This church will do well and will truly walk in the greatness that God has for us if we are connected with the head. If we connected with the head. One of the biggest schemes, and I'm coming to an end, one of the biggest schemes of the enemy is to distract us, to deflect us from what's truly important. You see, there's a lot of things that's going on around us, even in our country. But the church is not being built on a reaction to what's happening in our country. The church needs to be built on the person of Jesus Christ. And as things are happening in our country, and we're in constant reaction to it, we sometimes can get disconnected with our head. Because that's what Jesus is on about. He's the head of the church. So we need to make sure that we're connected with the head and as a church know what God wants to do in this very season. And we give ourselves to that, to what he wants to do. To what he wants to do. Peter said, the very one that had this revelation, it said that he said in the book of Peter, that the devil is like a roaring lion looking who he can devour. Same guy that had this revelation of Jesus realized you can't just be content with you're saved. You've got to be in constant connection with the head because the devil is out there looking who he can devour, who he can cause to get distracted. The devil's out there to distract. You can have the song ready, Brent. I'm going to go into it shortly. I think our challenge is we get so busy and the enemy is causing a lot of distraction in our lives. I've realized in my life, sometimes things happen in life. Your kids get sick and life gets busy and there's a lot of things unforeseen that pop up. And suddenly you get to a place where you realize you've lost some feeling. You lost some sharpness because you're disconnected with the head. Sometimes you're at a good place, really good place, feel life is good, but just a couple of days in you realize you're losing some feeling. You're losing some patience with your children, with your wife, because there's a disconnection with the head. And Greg shared about the mantelpiece, that God wants to make sure that He is the center on the fireplace, that He is the main thing. And I believe that's what God is calling us, to come back to the place where He is the main thing, where we're devoted to Him and to His church. Where we're devoted to Him and to His church. And in our busyness of life, we don't try and fit in devotion. But we get to a place where, from within, we're totally devoted to who He is and to His people. Can we quickly close our eyes? I've got this song that I had prepared. And in my preparation, I just felt something of this song captures the message that God wants to leave with us this morning. Is that He wants to be everything. He wants to be everything. He doesn't want us to fit Him in. He wants to be everything. And the song goes and it says, God in my living, God in my walking, God in my working, God in my wrestling, God in my waiting. God wants us to have Him at center in every aspect of our life. He is the head. There's a couple of things I want to pray for, but just as a song player, I just want you to respond to the word. And if there's maybe a place where you know you've shifted, maybe you've lost connection with the head. Like Mario shared, his heart had grown hard towards the church, and he lost the beauty of what it truly is, that God wants to come and restore that now.